Welcome to the Jesus 360 podcast, a devotional guide to the names and descriptions of Jesus given to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Brother Daniel and myself, Blair Phillips, are co-hosting today's discussion on Jesus, the one who has the Song of the Lamb sung about him. And so we are in Revelation chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 15 through verse 4. And it says that, "Then I, John, saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you." And so, Brother Daniel, we have the Song of the Lamb.
Well, we just talk about them singing him as the kings of all the saints. And now all nations will recognize that they're going to sing the Song of the Lamb. What is that mysterious Song of the Lamb? I believe that all nations will discover the many facets of the beauty of Jesus, and they will begin to exclaim, they will begin to sing. It will be with harp, it will be with intercession, incense, burning coal, you know, the Isaiah 6 reality, because we have the sea of glass mingled with fire. So it is only right that we sing song of the redeemed that's focused on the Lamb of God himself. From Revelation chapter 5, the saints from every tongue, tribe, and nation already begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, for he is the one that that is worthy to receive all the glory, power, blessing, honor, riches." And we go on and on in the sevenfold description of praise and beauty of Jesus. But as we have discovered, there are over 140 beautiful descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation itself. What if that is a series of song, the Song of the Lamb? And I personally believe we are only touching a bare surface of the revelation of Jesus out of the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Can we imagine before the sea of glass mingled with fire and with those with harp in their hand, and we are together with the saints and angels from all the nations, now without restriction, now without restraint, knowing who the Lamb is, we will have so much to sing about him. The melody will be so creative and so engaging, but the words itself will be compelling. It will not be something that is composed and then externally imposed on us to be sung. It will be something that overflows from within. Well, I remember that the great old hymns of the 18th century to the 19th century, along with the songs from the underground church in China, they were basically songs that describe their devotion and their walk with the Lord and their understanding of Jesus. It is not song that was sang so that they could record it in studio and then it sounds good and millions of people could repeat it on Sunday morning. They were song that was sang out of the overflow of the revelation of Jesus in their soul. The abundant grace of the Lord, the mercy of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God, all the different themes about God were clearly sung in context with their wrestle and their life and their walk with God. So the saints will have a collective knowledge and revelation about the Lamb. And it will be focused on the Lamb. And the heaven will rejoice. And the Father will be so, so delighted to see the revelation of the Lamb crescendo at that point. So this Revelation 15, verse 3, the saints singing the song of Moses and the Lamb, is actually one of the high points of the book of Revelation, where we see the revelation of Jesus in such a concentrated emission to, and all the saints are encountering this revelation. And at this point of time, I'm reminded of John chapter 1, verse 14. He says that the law came through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The word has become flesh, dwell among us. So in other words, the eternal glorious word is now in the form of the flesh to be encountered by the people on the earth, especially in Galilee, in the land of Judea at that time. And when they encounter Jesus, they will understand that law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Jesus, the revelation of Jesus was given to that generation. But at the same time, it's interesting that Moses and the Lamb were put side by side. It's as if the old covenant and the new covenant, you know, the law and the gospel. So we have the situation here that both songs of Moses and song of the Lamb were sung by those who are at that point of time redeemed from the nations.
And so just one quick thought, and then I want to dive into something. We have a song of Moses documented in the book of Psalms itself. I can't remember right off the top of my head which number of Psalms it is. But so if our audience is curious about that, you can actually go and read it. And then just another thing to realize is that in the context of Revelation chapter 15, this is most likely at the end of the last 3.5 years. When the bold judgments are being poured out. But we see this saints being involved in the judgments of God being completed by singing about the Lamb. And I think that's crucial. And I think it's one of the things that we at the House of Prayer hold very dear, is that if the saints in heaven are singing in response to the Lord releasing judgments, and even in the flow of the text in Revelation chapter 15, that's a key component to the judgments actually being released, what else should we, the saints who happen to be on the earth maybe during that time, be doing besides singing the same thing, singing the song of the Lamb and singing about the Lamb as how we engage with what's happening on planet Earth?
So, Blair, you're highlighting the fact that is that during the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgment, there's an exaltation of the Lamb that's happening. Mm-hmm. It's very clear for the inhabitants in heaven, how do the people on the earth actually respond? Perhaps even the church and the saints on the earth at that point of time and would continue to tap into the song of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the key of us going through, to hear the harp and the melody of heaven and the song of the Lamb and begin to join in that chorus. And during the time when the seal, trumpet, and bowl are actually in motion. No, in this particular case, the bowl has not yet been released. It's about to be released. Revelation 16:1 was the pouring of the first bowl. And so we have the situation here where it's really intense, and the song of the Lord is very key during those intense time.
Yes. So, Brother Daniel, how can we now join with this, or how can we engage with this in prayer today?
I would say that, you know, before we actually look into this encounter with Jesus, who is the focal point of the Song of the Lamb, we need to first of all really cultivate the life of singing the Song of the Lamb right now. Maybe not the Song of the Lamb that is sung on that day, but our worship and our song need to be Christocentric. We need to sing about who He is, what the great thing he has done, the great thing He's doing, and who He is in our life. And this needs to be a focal point on our regular day. Let's make a new song unto the Lord. So if we have come to the one who's the focal point of the song of the Lamb, then we know that we are the one who make melody and songs. As Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:16 talk about the depositing of the word and making of melody and song and psalms and hymn unto the Lord. The theme of the hymns and the psalms and the song need to be Christocentric, focus on the Lamb who was slain and rose again from the dead, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Bright Morning Star. There's so many things we can sing about the Lamb. We need to begin right now. And that, let these songs be contagious. Let these songs be the songs that's like a fragrance in our life that everyone would know when they meet us. They are meeting a group of people, a company of people that will sing the song of the Lamb wherever we go. Let's fill the airwaves. Let's fill the media with the song of the Lamb. And let's saturate the media with the song of the Lamb in this generation without any apology, because the world needs to hear the glorious song of the Lamb.
Amen. So Jesus, we thank You that You are the one that has the the song of the Lamb sung about you. And because you are this one, we are those who will sing your song. We will sing songs about who you are. We will sing songs about your nature, your name, and everything that the Holy Spirit causes us to remember and marvel at and be fascinated with. And so, Lord, because we are these ones, we ask that today you would fill us with revelation. Anoint our lips and anoint the lips of this generation to write, compose, and sing songs about the marvelous beauty of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to thank you for joining us for this Jesus 360 podcast. We invite you to join us next time as we continue on through the names and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation.